Pet with me, Ibrahim Sani. Hopefully we can get the Oscar fever out because there is another drama in play right now. Earlier today, President Trump says that he will delay additional China tariffs originally scheduled to start late this week on 1st of March. The United States is planning to delay a menu of additional Chinese tariffs that was scheduled to begin on 1st of March. And as the world's two largest economies hash out a definitive end to a wide-ranging trade dispute, we ask a lot of panelists and a lot of experts into how they can manage this. Because in a series of posts on Twitter, Trump cited, quote-unquote, substantial progress in the bilateral talks between US and China. And as a result, the president said that he would suspend the new levies that would have taken place as early as Friday. So joining me on the phone joining on Skype, actually, is Vincent Loria, Vinny Loria, pardon me, from Golden Gate Ventures, all the way from Singapore. Vinny, thanks for having us this evening. The reason I brought you in is because you wrote a little piece on Forbes discussing a little bit about the trade war between the US and China. But of course, your argument is it's slanted towards how it would benefit Southeast Asia. If I can just pull up a little bit of your article, if the US-China trade war boosts fast-growing Southeast Asia. Vinny, could you describe to me what is happening when you wrote this particular article?
Sure. So as an American out here for 9 years now, I've been kind of acutely watching what U.S. and China has been doing. I would not have expected this, but what we've seen now is more of the traditional businesses, manufacturing and exports, coming from Southeast Asia as tariffs increase in China. And in the article, shared some pretty specific examples of companies that have moved their manufacturing from China into places like Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, and now the U.S. is importing directly from these countries.
As an investor, you're going to be paying a lot of attention into the current statement that was issued by your president earlier today, saying that, you know, there's a positive kind of negotiation taking place, and there is a very promising substantial progress in the bilateral talks between the two countries. Are you at all believing these kind of statements?
I looked at a lot of it is, you know, his style of negotiation tactics, but the longer this goes on, the better it is for Southeast Asia. And it is in my belief, you know, assuming an agreement is made and things shift back to China, already things have started now in Southeast Asia that will be a bigger boon over the next few years. So Southeast Asia has been on a tear for the past, you know, decade and very bullish for the next decade. But what has been set in place, we have companies like Samsung that now have their largest manufacturing plant in Vietnam for, you know, phones all over the world. You're not going to pull that back now that things have been set up here. And on the tech front, where we're investing, this is great because it means a stronger consumer class, people, you know, having more salaries, spending more, doing more things online. And this trickles down to internet startups over the next 5-10 years.
Of course, Vinny, the focus is not just on the tech industry. You also invest in a lot of consumer businesses as well. Do you think that consumer businesses will see a pickup, at least in this part of the region?
They already have. I mean, so any e-commerce company, it has naturally strong growth over the past few years, but I would say over the past 6 to 8 months, just from some of the companies in our portfolio, have had very record quarters. I see more money coming into this space, especially in countries like Indonesia and Vietnam. Another thing is a stability factor. There's a few indexes across the world that just look at the stability of doing business, and this is where now China has been knocked around a lot, and so that stability of not only investor confidence, but then consumer confidence in what the next few years is going to look like is very, very strong in Southeast Asia.
Vinny, in your article, you also cited a lot of exposure towards Vietnam and how Vietnam is going to be one of the most important economies to look at right now. Do you think that the sizable economy that Vietnam is creating, particularly for manufacturing in terms of Samsung, in terms of big consumer companies like Nike, Adidas, you name it, do you think that those are the kind of things that other Southeast Asian countries should also look at in order to compete against Vietnam?
I guess I wouldn't use the word to compete against Vietnam, but I think definitely looking at Vietnam. And if you would have looked at, historically past 5 years, I would say Indonesia has had a very big jump in terms of foreign investment coming in and then exports going out, technology being created. I would say that, jump is about to happen in Vietnam over the next few years. There's definitely been, talks over the past of what that looks like, false starts, but there's some key indicators. So one, the U.S.-China trade war has been just a very big boon, I guess, sharing a border. Manufacturing already was happening there, but a lot has been driven down, so that's one. Number two is we see Chinese companies now investing a lot of money in Vietnam. Alibaba and Tencent on the tech side, a number of manufacturing companies, and they're putting in more resources to develop technology, engineering teams, R&D, manufacturing. So I do think other countries should be looking to what's happening in Vietnam right now and how it's going to evolve over the next few years. But look, it's not competitive. Southeast Asia's asset is like the European Union. Working together to put themselves on a global stage is a really good thing. So I think people should be looking to neighbors and across the water to say, what is it that we could also be doing collectively together?
Of course, this is the part where I want to draw a comparison between, say, ASEAN and Southeast Asia with that of the European Union, because in the European Union, you would see countries more or less about the same in terms of economic development. Of course, you would see, Germany and France would have a little bit very advanced in terms of economy, but generally speaking, they would have the same amount of starting position in the race. However, in Southeast Asia, you're going to see, countries with vastly different economic standing where, Singapore is really up front, Malaysia, Indonesia perhaps not that far behind or with Vietnam, but other countries are straggling far behind. Because of the range that these countries are at, do you see any form of collaborative work in terms of getting things done, largely because economies are so different between one state to another?
Great question. So as a businessman, I see that as opportunity. I see differences in terms of earning power and economies working together. That's opportunities for businesses to go in. So am I saying that there's going to be a European Union and one currency here? No, but could there be companies that start going across the region? Look at AirAsia, started in Malaysia and now made a really strong regional footprint and is now going even further across the globe. So I think as businesses understand to leverage opportunities across the region and make one product work in a different country, that's opportunity. And that's why we have companies like Grab and Gojek, Shopee and Lazada that have evolved here very different than their counterparts in the U.S. So, Uber is ride-hailing, but Grab and Gojek are not only ride-hailing, but food delivery, their payments, their wallets. That's not how it evolved in other countries. If you look at e-commerce companies here, the marketplace hybrid model with actual storage facilities and the last mile logistics and all the problems you have to address there, and then cross-border customs, this is probably the hardest market in the world to do e-commerce or ship things, yet it's growing the fastest. And so very hard problems are very large opportunities. So that's actually what's very exciting about this region. I think that is businesses can bring it together.
The last time you came on Astro, when you came in person, and I was asking you about that particular element of doing things, in Southeast Asia, you said something that resonated well with me. If you can succeed in Southeast Asia, you probably can succeed elsewhere around the world. 1 year down the road, do you still believe in that statement?
I do. And it made me chuckle because then I'm thinking of companies like Uber, who could not succeed in Southeast Asia. So what does this mean for the rest of the world? And I am now hearing rumors of other markets, so they've already lost China, Southeast Asia, and maybe the Middle East. So I really do believe that this is the kind of hardest, you need the most sort of gumption and grit to really get across the region and operate in multiple markets. And I think that toughens up an entrepreneur and allows them to go to other markets, to take over the globe.
Vinny, we don't have much time left. I just want to draw back to Washington, D.C. plenty of rubbish coming out from that place. But, you know, people are now learning to live with the nonsensical reaction of Donald Trump. But investors halfway across the world, people like you, a fellow American, how do you react when, you know, President Trump issues this so-called, you know, he wants to threaten, he doesn't want to threaten, he wants to impose levies and more sanctions, but suddenly pulls out last minute. How do you manage yourself and manage your business in this kind of volatility?
So what I look at it is it might be volatile, but to me it's kind of expected and it's status quo for him. And so as an investor in this region, I kind of understand what he's going to be putting out in terms of messaging and controversy and making sure his name's always at the front of the news. But at the end of the day, I would say like a shock was the U.S.-China trade war. Now that that's happening, I understand that that's not going to be just an agreement that's signed and everything is better. It's going to have lasting effects. So, you know, we've shifted the way we work with local investments, the way we have some global partners. But for the most part, I take what he says in the short term with just a grain of salt. But there's been a few sort of larger instrumental long-term changes that he's made that we pay attention to very closely. But luckily for the short term, I can just turn off that audio segment.
All right. But we wouldn't turn you off, definitely. Nice article on the Forbes as well. And thanks, Vinny, for joining us. That was Vinny Lauria from Golden Gate Ventures all the way from Singapore.